Hello, dear listeners, and thanks for tuning in. That's funny. That's from old radio talk. But then I'm a pretty old person, so thanks very much for tuning in to another episode of We're All Made of Stories. I'm Ellie Royce. I write stories, mainly for kids, our most important audience, may I add, but of course anyone's allowed to read them. I help people find their stories, and I share stories and generally hang around in Storyland as much as possible. Today's podcast episode is sharing stories with Daniel Dufayet, a lovely US-based children's book creator and artist. So Danielle is also a member of the 2020 Comeback Crew, along with Susie Schaefer, who I spoke to in a previous podcast episode. If you haven't listened to Susie's episode, you might want to after this one. Danielle is the author of You Are Your Strong, Fantastic You, and Waiting Together. She teaches English and public speaking and self-empowerment classes for middle graders, and she lives in California. So I'll let you know where you can find Danielle at the end of the podcast. Before we start, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of Gumbanya Country, the country on which I live and work, and pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Here's the podcast.
So I'd like to thank Daniel Dufayet for being my guest today and talking about stories and stories about food with me and creativity. And Daniel and I met each other through the 2020 Comeback Crew, which is, I think it's called a promotion group. I'm not really sure what the...
I think so. A marketing kind of group.
Yeah, that's right. Where a bunch of authors get together and share the ware of promoting their books. And we did that in late 2019 was when we first got together, thinking that 2020 would be a pretty different year, I think, than what it actually turned out to be. And there's 15 of us, and I'll give all the information about that at the end of the podcast so people can look up all the fabulous books that have come out this year from the 2020 Comeback Crew. See, there's my gratuitous plug for all of our books. So thanks very much for being with me today, Danielle. We got there in the end. We had a few internet issues beforehand, and she was wondering what was going on at her end, but we got there. So what I'm asking people is to tell me how they found their creative voice and how that's manifested in your life, how creativity has manifested in your life.
Well, so for me, I think I'm pretty lucky because my mother was a full-time artist, a fine art artist, and my father as well. So I think I just sort of naturally have that creative gene in me where I want to create, or, you know, either whether it's art or writing. Ever since I was a child, I've been just making things. So I'm really lucky in that sense.
Because I know you, I was going to say, I know you as a children's author, children's literature author, but you're also an artist.
Right. Yes. I paint large abstracts. I have some of my pieces in different galleries. But I mean, I've done everything from like ceramics to jewelry to stained glass. So it's just that creative urge. I just naturally have it. So I feel really blessed to have that. So I've tried a lot of different things. But as far as writing, I decided I wanted to be a children's book author very early on. And that was like my career goal. And so I've been writing off and on since I graduated from high school.
And how many books do you have now, Danielle?
Well, so I have 3 books, 2 from last year and then 1 this year. And I have another one coming out, which I still can't really announce because it hasn't done the Publishers Weekly or whatever that needs to do the official announcement. Mm-hmm. So I have 3 and then 1 on its way. And then I'm submitting still others, you know, other manuscripts.
Fantastic. And do you work with children, or is writing your full-time job, or?
So I'm a teacher and I teach English, and then I also teach public speaking classes and self-empowerment classes to middle graders. So that's what I do more full-time as far as like job-wise, but this year has been crazy. We're not teaching. I'm continuing to do some online teaching and things like that, but Yeah.
And that sounds like a pretty creative job too.
Yeah, that is, it is creative, you know, because I'm teaching English and creative writing as well, essay writing. And then my public speaking class / self-empowerment class is a curriculum that I actually developed myself. So the whole goal, of course, is learning how to public speak and learning all the ins and outs of that. But the underlying theme is really like feeling self-empowered and confident in your life. And so we talk about sometimes some pretty deep things, just to kind of prepare them, you know, with some life skills and with positive thinking. So that's kind of, segueing into your question about, or as far as like my voice, you know, I think any artist's voice is continually being developed. Sometimes it's so blatant. It's like, you know, as far as writing, a lot of times we have to write quite a bit to kind of find our voice. And I think your voice really just reflects what's meaningful to you and who you are, right? It's just your unique personality. And I've always been a very positive person and, you know, wanting people to feel empowered in their lives. So I guess that really comes through in my writing. Although my third book, Waiting Together, is not really a self-empowerment book. It's more of a fun book about all the different kinds of waits we do in our lives, and how waiting is easier with a friend. So it's much more lighthearted than my first two books, You Are Your Strong and Fantastic You, because that's much more about self-empowerment, dealing with difficult emotions in a positive way, and self-love and self-compassion.
So they're more nonfiction, the first two.
Yeah, they're nonfiction concept books.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too that as part of this podcast, I've been trying to find, well, I suppose I've been trying to find the podcast voice really. And what I want to focus on, I guess, is the holistic aspect of creativity in our lives as well, because we tend to, a lot of the time in our current culture, which is changing, which is pretty fabulous, but we tend to focus on one thing, and we're trained to focus on one thing. You know, you if you're a writer, then you're only a writer, and you can't be any other things. And if you're an artist, then you're an artist, and you don't sort of, you know, dabble in other things. But I just think that, you know, if you do have that creative gene in you, and if that is something that helps you move through your life, then it does tend to manifest in many different ways. All the way through from, you know, I'm pretty obsessed with my garden. I love my garden and growing my vegetables.
Right.
And that's a real been a real creative outlet for me, especially this year, not being able to, you know, sort of go out and participate in many things. Yeah, for some people it's cooking, for some people it's sewing or decorating the home or all of those things. Some of us dabble in a bit of everything.
Yeah.
So
I think anytime you kind of zone out and you're just in the present doing your something that brings you joy, pretty much that's creativity. So, well, it could be a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions that I have as well for people, is that creativity is kind of tapping into a source energy, I feel, when I'm doing it, because you get into the flow, into the zone, and and as you say, that can be doing anything that brings you joy. And you're nodding your head, so I think you probably feel the same.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what other things apart from writing bring you joy?
Well, painting, definitely. I mean, talk about losing yourself in the zone. I think that's even easier when I'm doing art, because I turn my music on and I'm just playing with my colors and I'm just having a ball. Whereas writing, I mean, you get in the zone for sure, but, you know, it's much more cerebral. So sometimes, I don't know, it feels a little more frustrating for me when it's not coming out the way I want. Whereas art, you know, you're splashing around colors and you can cover it up and start over. And I don't know, it's just sort of a different process for me.
Leading into the next question is about when our creative process becomes blocked for any reason, whether we block it ourselves, which we do sometimes if we're sort of stressed out or too many things are happening. And quite often with women, it's family needs that can sort of get in the way of our pursuing our creativity. And sometimes, you know, that obviously things have to be done. We're grown-ups. We have to look after our families. And but sometimes it can be a bit difficult to sort of cope with that. So how have you found, and how have you found it this year as well?
Well, this year I definitely felt not as motivated as I normally am, you know, sort of a heaviness, kind of a, you know, well, with the whole pandemic and just politics and just one thing after another. I haven't really felt too motivated to create, but I've sort of pushed myself. So it's really helpful when you have several things you're working on, especially as a writer, because then maybe one thing is resonating a little bit more with you. And so you can at least progress a little bit, you know, on one manuscript. And like for me, I'm lucky because I can, if I'm not in the writing mood, I can do a little, you know, more of the painting and stuff. Mm. So, but it is difficult. And, you know, I remember when my children were small, like for some reason I was getting into stained glass and that was like the worst thing I could have been doing. So I had to kind of wait till I had a better opportunity and the proper space for it, which I did eventually, but I did have to put that on hold for a few years.
Mm. Were you writing then as well?
Pardon?
Were you writing then?
Oh yeah, I was right. Yeah. I've been writing like all my life. So yeah, I just took off just in this direction of wanting to do stained glass. So I did that for about a year, but it definitely required, you know, my own separate space away from everybody and all that because of all the glass and stuff. But what was the question?
Just how do you move through your sort of creative blocks or your, you know, frustration mm-hmm. when you aren't able to create, when you feel the mm-hmm. need but you aren't able to? Mm. But as you've said, you have a few different projects on the go. I actually started writing picture books when my kids were little, because that was when I actually started focusing on the picture book format, because you could take it in little chunks.
Right.
It wasn't a novel or a massive project. You could take it in small bites. I mean, they're still quite complicated to put together, of course, but that's when I started doing that, because that was how I coped with not having much time and just having a few minutes here and there to do it. So
I mean, there's no easy answer or solution to that, because like you said, we all have responsibilities and obligations and priorities, and so sometimes our creativity gets pushed in the back burner, but it is important to make time, even if it's just a little bit here and there, like you said, because otherwise you get frustrated. You feel like you're stagnating. Mm. And then that's not a good feeling. But I'm pretty lucky because my kids are grown and out of the house, so I really don't have that problem anymore. I have quite a bit of freedom, which is really nice. And, but you know, even still, I'll still feel kind of stuck, like, oh, what do I want to work on today? Or I don't really feel like painting, but I should be doing something. You know, again,
sometimes it's good just to not do anything.
Yeah, it's okay.
You've got to feel that well sometimes too, don't you?
Exactly. And you don't want to beat yourself up over it, because that's not going to help, you know. And you have to understand that a lot of times, like if you're creative, you're still creating subconsciously. We're just not always aware of it. Mm. And so we have to kind of give ourselves credit for that, that we're still doing the work. Maybe it's just not as conscious. And then find ways to just relax. I think relaxing is the number one thing where the ideas are going to come in a lot easier.
And how do you
relax? I go for a walk.
Yeah. How do you feel? I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Again, I, you know, don't have a whole lot of, you know, obligations anymore as far as like with the kids and the, you know, schedules and the cooking and all that. So that's been a huge kind of a freeing up factor. But sometimes when I feel like I want to work on something, but I'm not sure what, or I kind of on the brink of an idea, I'll just go for a walk, you know, and just I'll be relaxed. And then when you're walking, you're using the right and left brain. Mm. And I just feel like sometimes the mindless kind of things are the most important things, because that's when your brain is just kind of like kind of open and wandering. And for me, that's been, you know, a good way to just let the ideas come in and, you know, just be open, I guess. It seems to work pretty well for me. Mm.
And so you've had a new book come out this year, which is Waiting Together, which is gorgeous.
Thank you.
how has it been for you? Because you're in California. How has it been for you having a book come out this year? How has it been different?
Well, it's quite different because my first two books, you know, I did a book launch, and then I was flown here and there and different conferences from my publisher. You know, I felt like a celebrity. It was really wonderful. So this year it's been really quiet. I mean, it's been a lot of like internet kind of marketing and Instagram, things like that to get the word out. So it's been very different. Definitely no trips and things, which is unfortunate because those are really fun, going to the book conferences and things like that.
Yeah. And so next year, I know you have something coming out that you can't really talk about yet, but has there been any planning for IRL, which is in real life, which is language that we're all learning now along with 2020 language, like pivot and in real life and all of those sorts of things? Have you heard anything yet about whether anything's going to happen next year?
No, I mean, I think we're just all kind of waiting to see how everything sort of progresses with the vaccine and everything. I don't have like a publication date or anything. I'm thinking maybe it's going to be towards the end of next year.
Yeah.
You know, with the COVID though, it's postponed and delayed so many things.
Absolutely. Well, I've got one coming out next year as well, and that's been pushed back until I think June. And we don't have Publishers Weekly here, so I don't have to talk about that because it's
so an Australian. What's your next book?
It's a book called Frizzle and Me. And it's a fiction book about an extended family that keeps growing, very diverse, a whole lot of different people coming into the family. And, and that's with an Australian publisher called Ford Street. And our illustrator is, I'm very lucky, he's a very highly awarded illustrator here in Australia, Andrew McLean. And he actually did my first picture book. And we've been waiting for him. He's a very busy man. So we've been waiting for quite a while for this to come out. And then, of course, then it's a, you know, you think it's coming and then COVID comes along and pushes it back even further. But, but I'm hoping that, fingers crossed, we might be able to have some in real life events next year, about the middle of the year.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Well, congratulations on your new book.
Well, thank you. Same to you. Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's actually going to be a very eventful June because I have my first grandbaby coming along at that time as well.
Wonderful.
Yes,
oh,
very
my
exciting.
Gosh.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this morning about you know, why we do it, why we keep writing, and I thought I'm so excited to have all these beautiful books in the world that are coming out now that deal with all this positivity and diversity and environmental stuff. I just think, you know, I'm going to start a library. I'm going to buy a book or two every month, so this baby when it arrives is going to have
a
whole heap of books to read. The poor little thing. But anyway.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty exciting. So that has really ramped up my creative urge, I suppose. You know, I'm really vibe to sort of get going now. So that's something that's
knowing you're making a difference is definitely a motivator.
Yeah, that's right. And I often think, you know, I live in a regional part of Australia, in a little bit of the world, and I can't necessarily make a big difference, but I can make a little tiny one. You know, if one child reads something that you've written and has a different idea because of that, then that's worth it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and your books will be all over the world, so, you know, eventually they spread and they travel.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And that's one thing that I've really enjoyed about this year too, and about working with the Comeback Crew. Well, I was going to say gals, shouldn't say gals, but they're all females. So the women creators in the Comeback Crew, it's been fantastic for me because, like I say, I live in a little more or less country city in New South Wales, and I've had contact with you guys all over the world, which has been just fabulous, and being able to be a part of that is really makes you feel like you're still in touch with everything, I guess, you know, when you're in lockdown things like that. It certainly makes the windows feel like they're still open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great feeling. Just that community feeling. The kid-lit community is so wonderful.
It is.
Like we all want to help each other, and I don't know, I just love the community. Yeah. So many people are just willing to help and support one another. It's great.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my last question, my leading question is, we were talking about food, and you said you love food. I also love food. My previous guest, Zoe, on the last episode, we were talking about how we love to feed people. And I'm not aware of any Italian or Greek in my background, but I probably should have because, yeah, I love food, obsessed with food, thinking about what I'm going to feed everybody when they come home. Every time they come home for a visit, the first thing we say is, what's the menu? We go on holidays. Quite often we say, oh, we'll stay here because the food's really good. Back in the day when we were allowed to travel. So, and also food and stories are inextricably intertwined in my experience and in my life. So I just like to ask people if they have any food stories that they would like to share, or any, you know, how does food and stories fit together in your life?
Well, food is a great uniter, right? I mean, if you sit down at a table with lots of good food to share, I mean, it almost doesn't matter, you know, where you're from, or even if you speak the language, you're experiencing this pleasure and you're sharing it. So I was really fortunate. My mother's French. Actually, my mom and dad are both from Paris, France. And everyone thinks, oh, your mom must have cooked all these, you know, creme brulee and, you know, duck à l'orange and all these things. But actually, she cooked very simply, you know, maybe with a little bit of a French flair, but I really didn't know the difference. Of course, my grandmothers, both of them, they would make, you know, rabbit pâté and, you know, all sorts of stews and the cups. You know, I mean, just thinking back on all I was spoiled with delicious, delicious food. And then I ended up having friends. Like I had a wonderful friend from Lebanon, and her mother would every Sunday would just cook. I mean, a feast for a king. The table would just be full of, I mean, all sorts of. She would just be cooking all week for Sunday, I guess. And they'd invite me over, and I would. You know, I'd try all sorts of different kinds of foods. And then I grew up with Italian friends from Sicily. And again, they would invite me over mainly for the big Sunday lunch. And so I have a lot of very fond memories of just, you know, eating a lot of different kind. I love ethnic food. And, you know, I wasn't raised on snails per se, but you know, I was exposed to all sorts of different kinds of foods that most people would probably like run the other way because it was just sort of normal. And, so I'm glad that I had that exposure because I'm, you know, very open-minded as far as like trying new things. And, I don't think there's a culture that I don't enjoy their food, or I haven't maybe, well, of course I haven't tried all of them, but I've been very fortunate to try a lot of different cultural food. And so food has always been such a source of pleasure.
Yeah. That's because I guess I had a similar actually experience as a kid. I had a lot of Italian and Greek friends where I grew up and basically you were just taken into the family and fed and sitting at the big groaning tables, and it gives you a zest, I think, you know, it gives you a zest and a pleasure when you're with people who are enjoying their food like that, because it's not necessarily part of our Australian culture. Like we're, you know, the barbecue sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We're the barbecue people. We have barbecues and Sunday roast lamb on Sunday for lunch. But it's not necessarily, well, it wasn't my experience. I didn't have a huge family and wasn't brought up in a huge family. I was adopted by many, many other families of my friends. So, so I think that's a lovely thing. Thank you for talking to me. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely.
Well, and, thank you so much.
I just wanted to, is there anything else you want to say, like anything about your book? Or, I mean, I'll put all the details in the show notes anyway.
I can't really think of anything offhand.
That's all right.
No. Yeah, I don't think anything specific, but I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Oh, thank you.
And I wish you wonderful success in all your new books and all your endeavors.
Thank you. Well, the same to you. You can't really say anything about your new book yet, can you, I suppose?
Well, my new book is all about the artist's angst about facing that big blank, whether it's the page or the canvas. And and so it'll be my first fiction book, actually.
Oh.
And I'm really excited. So, as you know, it's all about the painter and when they face the big white canvas and they don't know how to start, and the whole feeling of wanting to be perfect right away. And that's like the worst thing you could do. Cause you know, we're so self-critical, when we create. And so the whole message is to just sort of let loose and have fun. And especially with paintings, maybe even with stories, I think the painting, the end result of the painting and the end result of the story is like, it's almost like it's already out there. And then as a creator, we just sort of have to like chip away and collaborate with it.
Mm.
I don't know, as far as like, maybe even more so with my paintings, it's like, I know what I want to do, but I don't always know how to get there. And so I think the more relaxed and loose and the more fun I have with it, the more it allows the painting to sort of emerge. So it's sort of like a dance that I'm doing.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel the same way. You're dancing with the creativity, and it comes through. And it's I sometimes feel like I'm channeling something, that it's just, I'm just the instrument and it's coming through as it wants to. And there's a bit of me added into it, obviously, but actually it's you know, it's the creative, the story or the whatever it is that wants to come through. And that's
a
fabulous feeling.
Yes, it is. And so if you can kind of dance with that energy, and not only will you enjoy it more, but usually you're happier with the results.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Can't wait to see
it. I'm excited. It's gonna be a fun story.
Thanks a lot, Danny.
Thank you so much. All right, take care.
Bye.
Well, dear listeners, that's the podcast. My thanks to Danielle, and my apologies since this episode was recorded quite some time ago. It's taken me quite a few months, actually, to rescue it and weave it all back together so that it makes sense. You can find Danielle and her books at www.DanielleDufayetBooks.com, and Danielle's last name is spelt Dufayet, Dufayet. So if you type that in, you'll find the right person. And if you head to her website, you will find her Facebook, Twitter, Instagram handles, and all the other places that she hangs out on the online world. Once again, Danielle's books are You Are Your Strong, which I didn't mention earlier, is illustrated by Jennifer, I think it's Zivoya. And her second book is called Fantastic You, again illustrated by Jennifer Zivoyan. And Danielle's third book is called Waiting Together, and that was illustrated by Srimali Basani. Danny's new book, which we were discussing back in 2020, I can now let you know, is called Blank, and it's going to be released in 2022 by Capstone Publishing. So that's pretty exciting. You can find me online at www.wearealmadeofstories.com. You can also find me on Instagram at Ellie Royce Kidlit Author. And the proper podcast account is called Made of Stories with Ellie Royce. I'd love it if you felt like popping in there after you listen to the podcast and leave a comment on the episode post. Let me know what you thought. Join the conversation about this episode. And if there's anything that you would like to discuss or like to hear, please let me know. That's the best place to reach me, on the Instagram account for the podcast. So thanks very much again, and I guess I'll talk to you soon. See ya!